Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby.
Episode 171. Wow.
171. Wow. And we're still drinking new beers.
Yeah, what are we drinking today?
This week we've got some Five Rabbits beer. We love Five Rabbits. They're from Chicago. We've got their Gringolandia Fabulosa Porter. It's a 5.5% alcohol by volume porter, JD.
It says it's an ultra easy drinking dark beer. I agree. It is delightful. You're getting me drinking
really
dark
good,
beers.
Yeah, I'm glad. Got you on the train. Right in time for the summertime,
just,
man.
Yeah, just in time for the warm where all you want is a daisy cutter or
Oberon.
Ruby Redbird.
Ah, oh, I love that.
So good. You can get it now. It's already out.
It's out. All right. I'm going to the store after this.
I'm excited. I'm also excited about today's show. It's hard to think of when I've been more excited about what we have right now.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about. We email back and forth, folks, topics, interviews that we have coming up, just prep for the show. Bobby pitched this.
Yep.
And I couldn't have been more excited.
Immediately sent an email back, just an email high five, because we're talking about the music of 1994.
Heck yeah. There's the amazing amounts of great music, and we're not the only ones talking about this. Rolling Stone is doing a thing on this too.
Yeah, Rolling Stone is, a lot of people are calling it the greatest alternative year of releases was 1994, so it's the 20-year anniversary of that. Rolling Stone is covering it. They had a great interview with Dave Grohl Soundgarden's album release.
Super unknown, yeah. If you get a chance, listen to it. It's a great interview. Dave Grohl just loves Soundgarden and the sound that they produce.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. Also excited that the NFL draft is coming up. Some big needs by some teams that really struggled last year, like the Broncos.
Hey.
Oh, what?
Just in one game.
So we're gonna talk about some of the needs. The first round could be interesting, and I think if you take a step back and look at the draft, it's kind of telling what teams are looking for. So we're gonna dive into that and some great music. I'm bringing the rock. I know, it's shocking.
Always. Well, when we come back, the music of 1994.
All right, Bobby, 1994, a great year.
Yeah.
I'm just a couple years older than you. I was in college, and, some formative years.
Of course.
Listening to these songs, these albums, unbelievable. It's hard to think of another year that had this many great albums. And you said alternative, but there was rock in here.
Yeah.
The lines were really more blurred then than they are now.
Yeah. I think if you're looking at guitar-based music and heavy guitars, this was the year for you.
Oh, man. It really was. It really was. Now, looking at some of these, and love to take a few of these as we go through these top 40 and some of the others, but number 40 could have easily been in the top five.
Yeah.
Lives Throwing Copper.
Yeah. For me, that's a top 10 album of that year. I mean, so many great songs off that. A lot of different bands adapted that sound that they had after that too. So it's a lasting album.
And I saw him in concert. Sponge opened for him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sponge.
Yeah.
And, well, Sponge, I think probably had, I think they had a release in 94 too.
Yeah. It was great. Bush had a nice release, when they really came on the scene.
Yeah.
They had them at 39. The Crow soundtrack. I loved that movie. Campy. I mean, the acting wasn't great, but it was dark and the music in it, I thought, was outstanding.
Yeah.
Some, the Toadies. The Toadies just had another album out like 2 months ago. but I enjoyed the Toadies. They're pretty good.
There are a lot of, like, the 40 is a great list for Rolling Stone to put together. It's tough to go through and actually figure out what the best of these are, because there are so many ones that it's subjective.
No, it's not hard.
Well,
this is easy to put together the top ones. And Rolling Stone, I appreciate your list.
Do you think they did?
No, they got it wrong.
Okay, so, but it was easy?
For me, it was easy. because I feel, you know, why throwing Copper, how big that blew up, how quickly.
Yeah.
Put them at 40th? I mean, there's some bad religions ahead of them. Frank Black is ahead of them.
Yeah, well, you have music critics picking it. When you have music critics...
But number 23, I thought was, you know, I like the hard rock, but you like this group too. 23, they had Korn.
Yeah.
And to Korn's me, debut that album. Debut album was revolutionary. It was something that nobody had heard that type of bass guitar before.
Mm-hmm. Blind, Chutes and Ladders. You have Jonathan Davis's vocals, which were different from everybody else's vocals at the time too.
Yep.
Aside from that, I will say this about that Korn's debut album. It's a great album. The drums on that album are so bad. Like, it just sounds like they're caught in a closet recording those drums.
Yeah. You know what? The drums don't even stand out to me because of how just amazing the vocals and the bass were.
Yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots had their follow-up album, Purple. I thought that was good, although to me it's kind of signaled the decline of Stone Temple Pilots because they were really rocking and... They had a similar Seattle-ish sound, and from that point on, I think you could just follow their trajectory with, you know, Scott Weiland's bank account. Just went down, down, down. Offspring.
Yeah.
17. That was just a fun, great album.
Yeah. They had Gotta Get Away, Come Out and Play, Self-Esteem. Like, that was the album I think that I remember most at that time from my childhood was Green Day's album and the Offspring album. That was what we played all the time.
REM's Monster came out, which I was not a huge REM fan, but I did respect what they were doing because it was pretty cool.
And they did bring the fuzz guitar with What's the Frequency, Kenneth. That's probably my favorite REM song, I think. Just really? based on the guitars.
Beck's Mellow Gold was out. Was that the one with Loser?
I don't think so. I think Odelay had Loser.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So a couple more years.
Alice in Chains had a total departure with Jar of Flies compared to what they had been doing. And I, you know me, I love me some Alice in Chains. But it was just melodies that they had never put out before.
Mm-hmm.
That type of... Look, I'm all excited.
You
about
are. I'm in the candy store right now.
I am going
through all these. I wrote down like specific albums that I was thinking of, but you're looking at the list just being like, "Ooh, look at this one! Ooh, look at this one!"
You know, it's you can't pick your favorite child.
And you have 40 children.
I do. I was busy in 1994.
I think there's a Liz Phair on that. Do you disown that album?
I Hole is on here as well. I'm not a huge Hole fan. Vitalogy by Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy as much as some of their other ones.
Yeah.
But it was really good. But as you mentioned at the top of the show, Super Unknown by Soundgarden is what just catapulted them into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
I started following them with the Louder Than Love album and then Bad Motorfinger is my favorite of theirs. It's a little bit heavier than Super Unknown, but Super Unknown did things that, Spoon Man, Black Hole Sun, they bended melodies like nobody else had done before either. I keep on saying that with some of these bands, but it was a revolutionary year.
Yeah.
It really was for music. And Nirvana's Unplugged, it was really at the height of the Unplugged phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's still my favorite Nirvana album.
I think it's a lot of fans' favorite Nirvana album because they showed that they weren't just grunge rockers. They could strip down and they could do stuff that just sounded really beautiful. If you took away the fuzz, their music sounded really good. And they also paid homage to a lot of really great musicians with the covers that they chose for that album.
And some obscure covers too, which I really... Is it not John Lee Hooker, but...
Leadbelly,
yeah. If you get a chance, listen to the original recording of Leadbelly. Mm-hmm. I have it on my phone. It's haunting. And they did it just as much justice as the original was.
Yeah.
I think the original was recorded in prison.
Yeah, I don't know where it was, JD, but I appreciate you diving into your memory bank.
It was. He was in prison for murder.
Yeah.
And the guards found out that he could play guitar. and enjoyed him singing, and ended up, he wrote a ton of music while in prison. I think it was for murder. Whatever.
We won't quote you on it.
But he was in prison when he wrote those.
Wow.
Which was pretty fascinating. Weezer.
The Blue Album, the debut. That one has so many phenomenal songs. That would be in my top five, maybe top three for 1994, just because of how strong it was with the music they were putting out there for a debut, and then how much it lasted. What the staying power of that album is, the staying power of all these albums is pretty amazing. If you look at the years and the music that led the charts in each of those years after that and before that, 1994 in its own right has some of the albums that you're going to look back on. You're going to introduce your kids to that. Your kids hopefully will talk to their kids about that great music.
Yep.
Beastie Boys' Ill Communication.
Oh.
I think I talked about Lives Throwing Copper. And Offspring is the one that we listen to all the time.
Yep.
Beastie Boys' Ill Communication. When I first could drive, I was playing Ill Communication all the time. That was my favorite album. Sure Shot, Root Down, Sabotage, Get Together. I mean, everything. That was when the Beasties were just it.
Nine Inch Nails came out with the Downward Spiral at that point in time, too. And it was heavy. It was weird. It was wonderful. I want that on my tombstone. JD, he was heavy. He was weird. He was wonderful. That's what I want.
I can do that for you, buddy.
Thanks, man. And Green Day, obviously, you mentioned. Green Day, I enjoyed Green Day. They had them number one. I probably would have had Soundgarden, Superunknown number one. I would have Offspring up there, Throwing Copper, Korn. But you know where my music tastes lie.
I mean, Dookie was, that was another one of those that just, it took over the radio and it didn't let it go for a long time. It's funny, JD, is that... people now, they complain that rock and alternative music is dead. Well, that's not right. You're just not looking in the right places. Now you have to go and find it. And it's out there if you put in the effort. In 1994, you didn't have to put in any effort because this is what was playing everywhere. On the radio. This is what it was everywhere, playing in everybody's cars, playing on everybody's boomboxes. Nowadays, you're not going to have that because the radio is so formatted and...
Well, it's online. You're choosing the music you want. You're not exploring music anymore.
Yeah.
I had a radio show back in 1994.
Uh-oh.
I did. It was called Children of the Spam. It was a great program.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Was it really Children of the Spam?
I did it with a buddy of mine. he was the pre-Bobby.
He doesn't live up.
But we did. We played a lot of these tunes. I mean, I would even throw Rage Against the Machine in there, which came out a year earlier.
Yeah.
But all in all, just outstanding music. And my issue a little bit is this isn't alternative music. This is rock.
Yeah.
A lot of this is rock. The only thing a few of them I'd throw alternative to, like Green Day, I'd throw alternative.
Yeah.
Offspring, I'd throw alternative. But most of this, or not most, a lot of this is rock, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to say this, JD, before we end this segment. There's two albums that you did not mention from 1994 that didn't make the list.
Whoa. I don't know if I'm ready to hear this.
Hootie and the Blowfish's Cracked Rear View came out that
awesome,
year.
Awesome.
Which
album.
Was like, it went on to be the like top-selling album for the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Matthews Band, Under the Table and Dreaming, came out that year as well. So what I'm saying, JD, is for the East Coast hippie community, big year 1994. Dave Matthews Band and Hootie. Hacky Sack was abundant.
It was. People just kicking back on the lawn, you know, wearing their Rastafarian hats.
Tossing a Frisbee around.
Yeah.
Catching some mellow vibes.
Well, it's time for music, Bobby.
You got some
music. I wasn't going to do this. I had a different song pulled, but I thought I'd pull out a little bit of rock here. The group is called Red. I've played them on here before. The song is Run and Escape. We'll be right back. ready for some people talking about football and picking players to play football in a few months.
See, that's the perfect music to introduce you to the tediousness that is 3 days of drafting.
Oh, what?
I love the NFL draft. I'm
it still
kidding.
Should be 2 days.
It still should be. It's
just
glorious
be a Saturday, a Sunday, thing. But yeah. we tackled that in a previous year. So.
Yeah.
But the draft is going to be pretty interesting because there are some specific needs towards the top of the draft. Now, let me list off the top five teams. Number one pick is going to the Texans, 2 Rams, 3 Jags, 4 Browns, 5 Raiders. Out of those, what I think is interesting is you're not seeing a lot of skill players mm-hmm. going in those first five picks. And this is... the JD mock draft. I go up against Mel Kiper and Todd McShay every year.
Every year,
and
he battles.
I do, and I talk smack. And we have a smack thing going back and forth, maybe just one way, but it is pretty intense. But out of those top five picks, what don't you see? Quarterback.
You know, it was the popular thing once the NFL football season began. Everybody began their mocks, and in the beginning, everybody, there's going to be 3-4 quarterbacks off in the first 10 picks. And now you look at everybody's mocks as we've gone along, let the process play out. There's no quarterbacks that people have going in the first 5 picks.
I don't have a quarterback going until 7.
Okay.
In my first round, I do have 4 quarterbacks going.
Okay.
And I think that may even be a stretch. But there are quite a few good quarterbacks going. I think there's no doubt in my mind that Clowney's going to go number one to the Texans.
Yeah,
it's just they're trying to play it off. They're looking between two guys. No, you're not. You're trying to trade your pick.
Yeah.
But to me, that's a foregone conclusion.
If he's not going to the Texans, he's going to somebody that the Texans trade with to get that. Because people are talking now about the Falcons trying to trade up and get him. But no matter what, he's your first guy off the board.
When you see teams like this in the top 10, the need may seem like it's a skill position need. More often than not, it's line help that they need.
Yeah.
And that's what I have going to the Rams at 2 and the Browns at 4. I have Robinson and Barber going to the Rams at 2 and Matthews of Texas A&M going to the Browns at 4. The Falcons I have taking Taylor Lewin of Michigan.
Okay.
So right there.
Wow, a lot of linemen.
Three offensive linemen in the first 6 picks.
Yeah.
And then the others, Khalil Mack is a beast as linebacker out of Buffalo. I have him going to the Jags at 3. I know you're all writing this down feverishly at home. But the big names, Clowney. I do have Manziel going in the top 10.
Okay.
I go have him going number 7 to the Bucs. They've shown a lot of interest. So what I think is interesting, I said there's a few things that are apparent early on. 3 of my first 7 picks are Texas A&M players.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Alignment, wide receiver Mike Evans going to the Raiders. And then I've got Manziel and then, like I said, Matthews.
Wait. You have...
Matthews?
Who do you have taking Sammy Watkins then? Do you have the Rams?
No.
You have Sammy Watkins falling?
Slipping.
Okay.
I do. I know on your board you've got him high. I kind of think I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him hitting 12.
Wow, okay.
I've got the Vikings at number 8 picking Bortles, quarterback out of Central Florida. Now, a lot of people think that Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, is really high on Teddy Bridgewater, Louisville quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most NFL ready, blah, blah, blah. We don't need a quarterback who's NFL ready. You know, we threw enough money at Matt Castle to say, hey, we're going to ride this pony a year mm-hmm. at least, and then draft a young guy to learn. And that's why I think Bortles fits in well. Big guy, solid quarterback. But I have him going there, which is a little painful for me because I really would like us to see the Vikings get C.J. Mosley, linebacker out of Alabama. But I have him slipping to the Bills at 9.
Yeah.
He's just a beast.
And he's the only inside linebacker for a long time. Like, he's really good, and if your team needs a good inside linebacker, he's all you got. Most of these guys are outside linebackers that are projecting out.
Yeah, I don't have any other inside linebacker in my first round. I think I only have one other linebacker going.
Yeah.
I have defensive end I don't consider outside backer. A true outside backer, I've got Dee Ford of Auburn going to the Saints. Excuse me, at 27. And I'm not just being a homer here, Bobby. I have three Notre Dame players taken in the first round. I've got Zach Martin, offensive tackle, going to the Cowboys at 16. Steven Tuitt, defensive end, going to the Ravens at 17. And then Lewis Nix III, going to the 49ers at 30. To me, those are the best three players on Notre Dame's team last year or two. Your Denver Broncos. I've got taking Jason Verrett, a cornerback out of TCU.
A corner out of TCU.
Yes.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad pick. I think the Broncos, they need linebacker help, and it'd be great if they could get an interior linebacker. But CJ Mosley's not going to fall all the way down to them. But
and you're not going to trade up to get him.
No, you don't need to. And so what you can look for around that time, we're looking at the bottom of the first round. I think there's going to be still some offensive linemen around there. We need a guard, offensive line. And if not linebacker, I think corner would be something that the Broncos could go for depth purposes. After all, they did get rid of Champ. They lost DRC. They did, sign a corner, but they need some depth there. So I wouldn't be surprised. The first round is the round that you want your team to make a big splash. Especially if you have the first 10 picks, JD, you want your team to make it a guy who's an impact player. And I think what you're looking at with your picks right now, teams want to get somebody who's, you're always going to look back on, did we miss out on an opportunity here? Or did we get somebody who's the rock of our franchise? And I think offensive line is the way to go. If you're looking at who's a guy who can be plugged in immediately and can fill that void. This draft is pretty heavy with offensive line talent. At least I think first round and second round talent, I think, is pretty strong with this offensive line group.
Yeah. And you also go, are you going to go for need? Or are you going best player available? Yeah. That was always Dennis Green's big thing, best player available. You're all right.
And if you're one of those top 10 teams and you do say, I want a quarterback so bad I'm going to overlook a guy who's a sure thing, that's where you're going to have problems. And that's why you're seeing these four quarterbacks, they're figuring who's dropping, who's going to go to the second round now.
That's why I also look at the bottom 10, which are the best teams. They're going to pick best available player. They don't have as many needs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even just say for Minnesota Vikings, but for a lot of teams in the league, there's a lot of risk right now. And it's a risk reward when you're looking at some of these skill positions available. And one thing teams have done is taken away the risk at running back.
Yeah.
And if you look at my mock draft, which you should. It's amazing. And others, there's not a running back to be found.
Yeah.
You can get them cheap. Also, not very many wide receivers taken either. Because they're like, we're going to get this fast, guy out of, Chadron State.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to spend a lot of money to get a USC guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a risk reward. And, the risk of getting an unknown, but tremendous, tremendous upside, Bobby. Motor.
But the most exciting guys, though, are those guys that are jumping, the athletes, the Johnny Manziels. I think Sammy Watkins is. I think I like what I've seen from Sammy Watkins. Those are the guys that you want your team to draft just so you can, the teams that want something exciting to see, have that guy that's running out. You can immediately say, I'm going to plug him in on my Madden when I get home, and I'm going to play with this guy on my team because he's so fun.
Yeah.
He's so fast. He's such an athletic guy. All you got to do is get him the ball.
Percy Harvin was that guy. Cordarrelle Patterson's that guy. And I know I keep going back to the Vikings, but you know they
you are a Vikings fan.
I am
so
a Vikings
fan.
Hey, I think the Lions could have that guy in Haha Clinton Nix out of Alabama.
Yeah.
Aside from having the best name in the draft, he is an explosive electric player.
Yeah.
That can do a lot. And the Lions, they're starting to get stacked. But we see that every year. Then.
Yeah.
The Lions.
How have they been drafting?
Yeah.
JD, I'm excited for the draft. I know it's the moment for you when NFL meets college football, which I think is a great point in life for you because you're such a big college fan, and then you're a diehard Vikings fan, and then you see these graduations in between, guys looping over.
Love the draft.
Love the draft. Well, JD, I'm going to play some music that I really love. This is a group, a duo. I've played them before, but it's been a long time since they've had a new album out. Rodrigo y Gabriela.
I almost played this.
Has a new album out called Nine Dead Alive. This is called The Soundmaker.
So good. I love their stuff. You got to see them in concert.
I've seen them a couple times in concert. They're amazing live, yeah.
Yeah, they've come to Chicago a few times.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. Bobby, it's time for a six-pack of questions, but first we need music, and of course we need to start it now. Bobby, I'm starting now. Broncos, worst draft pick of your tenure as a fan?
Maurice Claret, third-round pick. That really did not pan out well for us, did it? JD, you get to reissue an album from 1994, all right? Now, what I mean by that is you're going to have the band go into the studio and re-record all these songs just for you. I'm not saying they got to put it out as a release for everybody and sell it. I'm just saying this band is doing it for you.
Nirvana? Wait, no? Can't? No? Okay.
Are you going to do like a different lead singer like Boston? Or?
Ooh, you're hitting home, Bobby. Yeah. You're hitting close to home. I would say live. I wanted to see them back in doing Throwing Copper Ed Kowalczyk.
Yeah.
They're
separated right now.
I was
on a different lead singer.
Well,
now.
He had a solo album out.
Yeah.
Just probably like 4 or 5 months ago, and it was good. I mean, it sounded like live. But I'd like to see them together and rock it up a little bit. With the swift move by the NBA on the Clippers owner, we're not going to get into the whole issue. Enough has been said about it.
Yeah.
But does this bring back life to the NBA? I mean, it's definitely brought back the spotlight, but the NBA had not been the popularity it had once been.
Hmm.
But it's got attention now, and people are supporting the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the people that were already behind it are still behind it. Maybe it brought a couple different people to it that wouldn't be watching it otherwise, or watching maybe Clippers games.
I was
just
say, you
see,
don't think people would be
it's kind of must
Clippers
see TV,
game.
Yeah, to see what's going to happen, see if the players do a protest. I think if the NBA hadn't acted so quickly, there would probably be a lot of people that were tuning in just to see what was happening. And based on what the rumors were out there about teams going to forfeit, the Warriors walk off the court, something of that nature. That obviously would have gotten so much more attention, and it would have made a lot of those games more so of a must-see TV
yeah.
event than it is. But it's still Clippers and Warriors, so it's brought a little bit of attention to it.
but it's not the best basketball out there.
True.
JD, the Star Wars 7 cast was announced.
Yeah.
Including in that, we're getting the originals. We're getting some Mark Hamill. We're getting some Harrison Ford. We're getting some Carrie Fisher. Good thing?
Sure. You know, the prequels, I was having a discussion with a colleague of mine. The prequels, when they first came out, I mean, we're in line. We're waiting to see them. We're excited.
Yeah.
After we saw them, we're like, that was awesome! Until someone had to tell you, no, it wasn't. And then you're like, no, I guess it wasn't as awesome as I thought it was. So the reason they're making more is just money. They're bringing these guys back. If it hadn't been leaked, like months and months and months ago, I would be super excited. And I'm like, yeah, I know, they're doing it. And with a bunch of unknowns and the weird looking guy from Girls. Okay. So I'm not that excited. And to see them sitting around a table read type of thing.
Yeah.
They're old and bloated.
I'm a little nervous to see Harrison Ford. Like, how many times? No, Harrison, you gotta walk the... No, Mr. Ford, this way. You have to... The screen's over there. Camera's over there.
Mr. Hamill, step away from the buffet. Miss Fisher, is not over there.
Carrie Fisher is not aged very well either.
No.
None of that cast has.
Speaking of that, Bobby, you recently got into old fashions.
Yeah.
My question for you, in one evening, one sitting, how many old fashions are too many? It's a strong drink.
It's a very strong drink. The first one I made was an adventure. Because it was a strong pour I gave myself, and I don't know that I got the bitters ratio correct in there, which you need to be. When I bought the bitters at the store, I was talking to the liquor store guy, and I was like, yeah, so this is how much bitters? He's like, yeah, don't overdo it on the bitters. If you can, just underdo it on the bitters. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a whirl. I overdid it on the bitters, and I overdid it on the bourbon, but that was just fine, JD. I don't know that there is too many old fashions. I think when you get to that limit, you're not going to remember it. So
there you go.
That's the key. JD, CoffeeMachineCuisine.com. Have you heard of this?
It's a blog of
a woman who cooked only for a number of months. She only cooked using her coffee maker. And so she's got all these recipes. She actually put together a book. Now she has a kitchen, so she actually can cook in other things. But she has a blog. It's called CoffeeMachineCuisine.com. And it's all recipes of stuff you make using your coffee machine. I mean, every part of it even. Like, you'll take the coffee machine out and you'll use the little griddle there to cook stuff. Like, every little bit of it.
Wow.
My question is, if you only got to use one cooking device to cook meals for an entire year, it can't be a microwave. What would it be?
Pizza oven? Can I do that? That's probably cheating too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I am only going to use one thing.
In college, we got away with a hot pot forever.
You know what? I was going to say a quesadilla maker, but no. I'm going with I've got a big industrial waffle maker.
Oh.
And I'm going to cook with that.
You can grill with that.
I can grill with the waffle maker. Yeah. You bet. I'm making a lot of press sandwiches. I want to see what I can come up with because... you can make eggs in there. You can make a nice omelet. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Well,
that's my waffle.
There it is.
All right. When we come back, last call, one step away. You don't want to miss.
All right, JD.
Before you get going, Bobby,
okay.
I have to give... props to you.
Okay.
If you notice, the music's changed from closing time.
Yeah,
that was
the usual for last call.
But Bobby composed that himself, the music he was playing earlier. Absolutely great stuff, Bobby.
Well, glad you enjoy it. I hope the listeners like it too. A good segue into the segment, JD. Donald Sterling's got his ban for life from the NBA.
He's done. We
briefly touched on it. But I want to bring this up, JD, because the lifetime ban was a big deal. Not many people have received a lifetime ban. Duck Dynasty guys, Michael Vick, lifetime ban.
Duck Dynasty
Donald
guys
Sterling.
Got a lifetime?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about a lifetime ban from the Bunny Ranch. That's right. Donald Sterling not only got banned for life from the NBA, but the Bunny Ranch brothel outside Carson City, Nevada, said he is no longer welcome there. Lifetime ban.
Was he welcome there before?
The owner of the brothel, Dennis Hoff, said that he is banned from entering any of his 6 brothels in the state. He said a lot of NBA players come here to party. Out of respect to them, we have banned Sterling from coming here. He also said that his employees were upset about it. He said at any given time, 20 to 23% of the prostitutes here are African American. And
20 to 23%.
20 to 23%. Very specific numbers, yeah. Yes. And he said, and they're smoking hot. Some of them were crying this morning, so we're doing this for them as well. We don't need racists or bigots at the Bunny Ranch. So, Mr. Sterling, no NBA for you, and no Bunny Ranch.
No Bunny Ranch. Well, Bobby, mine isn't so much of a story as it is a list. This is an interesting list that was in BuzzFeed.
Okay.
Movie titles are fun. There's a lot you can do with movie titles, and they came up with a list of the top 30-plus movies that could stand for your sex life.
Oh.
Yeah, and here are just a few. Never Been Kissed. Great Expectations. Rear Window.
Oh!
Are We There Yet?
Uh-oh, you don't want to hear that one.
Some Like It Hot. Speed. Raging Bull. Gone in 60 Seconds. Uh-oh. You knew that was coming. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oof. Had those nights.
The Dark Knight Rises. There Will Be Blood.
Oh, no.
I know, right? Deep Impact. Les Mis.
Oh.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, that's man. Inadvertent, like these, yep, could also be called inadvertent porn titles.
Yeah, Scream. No Country for Old Men. Free Willy.
Oh, yeah.
Toy Story. Girl Interrupted. And last but not least, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Oh,
ba-do-boom.
Been there.
I couldn't pass those up. Fun stuff. Fun
Outstanding.
Stuff. Well, it has been a wonderful show. Fun to go down memory lane with 1994's music. Mm-hmm. You got your draft lineup ready to go. You don't even need to watch the draft. That's what's going to happen.
I'm pretty sure next week too, JD, if you follow us on Twitter, that's at 2beersin, the number 2beersin, JD and I will be tweeting all week long about the draft, and we'll probably be doing some live tweeting during the draft as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Until then, we'll see you next week. I had a radio show back in 1994.
Uh-oh.
I did. It was called Children of the Spam.